I know nothing about Burkina Faso. I know roughly where it is. So I'm really looking forward to being enlightened a little this morning. So a big welcome to Peter and Christine. I think, Peter, it's your turn now. So love you to come forward and share with us. I'd like to pray for Peter before we go. Lord, thank you for this man. And thank you, Lord, that you've got your call upon his life. And he's responded and been through so many experiences already, Lord. And yet the adventure in some ways is yet happening. And I guess it's going to continue in amazing ways. So, Lord, bless him, encourage him, give him words to say that will enlighten and help and inspire because of what you're doing in his life. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. 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 Thanks, Pete.
Morning, guys. How is it? I was talking to, like, yesterday, I managed to stop on the road beside Mum, and we had a neighbour who grew up, and he complains about everything, literally everything. And I thought that, you really know, Southland and Otago is a blessed place at this time of year. Because I stopped and I talked to him, and he's not a Christian, and last year he went through a real hard time, and I said, you know, how's your lemon? And he goes, oh, record lemon. I'm like, oh, wow. And normally he'd complain, oh, there was too many triplets or something like that. He said, oh. And so I was okay. And so you got lots of grass. I said, grass for Africa, everywhere. And I said, oh, okay. You got your tailing done. I was like, oh, contractors came in and tied it up in a day and a half because the weather was perfect. So you got your crops in. He said, oh, contractor sowing fodder beet this afternoon. And I go, oh. And he goes, you know what the problem is? I had to mow the lawn twice this week. Terrible, I can't stand the South Otago. And I'm like, well, I think it really shows that South Otago is in a really blessed place at the moment, and if that's all he has to complain about, and he has a lot to complain about normally, what a great place we are.
Yeah.
I thought we'd start with the first slide. So I guess for you guys who don't know me, and this is, I guess, an introduction for Abigail, our newest daughter. She was born 7 weeks ago. And this is and our son James, who was born over in Africa. And I guess we work for SIM, and we, I guess, are part of a church plant and do mission work over in the small country of Burkina Faso in West Africa. So, this is Burkina Faso. Obviously, it's a landlocked country, south of Mali, and sort of on the edge of the Sahara Desert there. And we're in the little town of Seba. Seba's not known for much. The Africans call it the armpit of Africa because it's hot and sweaty and no one else wants to go there. We'll flick to the next slide. So we work with the Fulani people. So the Fulani are the largest nomadic tribal group in the world. Just with hard times and the way things are going with climate change and I guess expanding population, they've really come under pressure. And they've become less nomadic and started to settle. They were some of the first people that brought Islam across Africa. And now it's, I guess, as we go forward, we're attempting to reach them to hopefully, our dream is they'll take Christianity back across where they've come from. So there are 2 million Fulani in Burkina Faso, and less than 2,000 of them know Jesus. A majority of them have never heard of Jesus and his love for them. And most of them don't even know there's an alternative to Islam. So this is a little thank you. This is a quote from William Carey. I'll bend you down to the gold mine of souls, but you must hold my ropes. It's kind of, this is a thank you for holding our ropes. I guess we've been over there and I didn't realise how important prayer was for mission. And knowing that there's people back praying for you and supporting you. And as we go out, and Africa kind of throws all sorts of curveballs that you don't expect, and a lot of spiritual things. And I guess when we went to Seba, we have one Christian to start off with, and to do a church plant with one Christian, it's kind of challenging. And so I guess from there, it hasn't been so much us, but it's been the work that God has done in front of us, and the miracles, and the just the way people have responded to us over there. Which has been very cool. So this is a bit of a thank you for the work we've done. Flip to the next slide. So I guess we left 3.5 years ago. So this is what we got up to. We had a year learning French in France, which was probably about as big a culture shock as you can physically get moving from South Otago. We learned for full day and lived in Seba. We had a baby in a third world country, which is scary enough in itself. I managed to get 2 medical evacuations for breaking my foot and getting sick. So we realized how much prayer has to do with that and how blessed we are with good doctors in New Zealand compared to over there. Burkina had a coup and a revolution. There was the Ebola scare in West Africa. In January 2016, there were terrorist attacks in Burkina Faso. We had 20 minutes to pack and get escorted out of our village. And we carried on our work living in Pela afterwards, so further down. And when you read it like that, man, it's been a bit of a full-on 3 years. But the cool bit about it is we've had this incredible peace right through the whole thing, that God has got us exactly where he wants us. And that no matter what's going on, how bad or scary, and when you read it like that, there's some reasonably scary things happen. But God is truly faithful, and he really does look after you wherever you are. And especially if you're in the center of his will. If we flip to these. So this is a bit about what we did in their village. So we planted a church, and so Bukhari and his family, this is Pastor Bukhari, and he came out of Bible school trained and came up to work with us. So this is him reaching his own people. So this is what we're encouraging for the church going forward. And we worked alongside with Bukhari and his family to share the gospel in this place where the gospel hadn't been shared before, to reach new people and to start a church. And now that we've had to leave and we won't be able to go back because of the terrorist threat, the cool bit about it is Bukhari and his family are still there, still doing the work, and they're doing children's ministry, and the church is slowly growing. And really thank God and praise God for that. I guess this is one of our first services, but I guess there's a lot of kids, but the cool bit about it is some families have come along and started joining in and to hear the gospel as well. We flip to the next. I guess when you go to a place that's got one Christian, some evangelism will have to be done to share the gospel. And so this is working alongside the pastor, and Christine got out and did women's ministry, going around and sharing and talking, and I guess just being with the people. Children's ministry, Christine did one of the biggest children's ministries in West Africa. So literally she had to shut the door because so many kids turned up to hear the gospel. And taking this as a completely Muslim area, so none of them have ever heard the gospel before. And she was working alongside the pastor's wife to train her and to keep the work going when we aren't there. So she would have 75 in the morning and 75 at night in the afternoon to every Thursday, because there's no school on Thursday. And literally there would be queues 3 hours in advance to get into Christine's children's ministry, to hear the word and to find out more and to play games and yeah. So, and the Muslim leaders really turned a blind eye to this, and so I reckon it was God's sort of putting the blinders on them that this is going on right under their noses in their own village. So, it's very cool. I guess we did agriculture and horticulture stuff. We just tried different planting methods and got along and saw how the locals did things and see if we could change it to make it better. And I guess there's a whole heap of farmers here who want to answer a lot of questions, but we'll just leave it at that, and if you want to ask any questions afterwards, go for it. So what's next for us? I guess we can't go back to Seville, which is kind of sad because of the cool things and the church was growing and the work we had started, we thought we'd carry on for another few years. But God is really, I guess at the time, we knew we were on a limited window going to this place. And we thought it might be a 10-year window, and God's really put it in a 3-year window. And the Sim and the government said, look, it's probably not safe for having white people in this area. So we asked the church what they wanted us to do. And the church, which is small, obviously 2,000 people in the whole country, for our tribal group. And they go, actually, we don't think we've had a missionary ask you that before. Normally they just do what they want. So We asked the church what they wanted us to do, and this is not what we thought we'd do, but this is what they really want us to do. And so they want us to partner and do the same thing we've done in Seba, with a new graduate coming out in January, and go to Gorango, which is the bottom red circle. And they want to do a church plant there. And I guess there's, I think there's two believers where we're going there. And there's been no work. The cool bit about it is before we went, and I went and scouted it out. And there's a Christian well drilling team. And they came and put water in this town 5 years ago. And they said, you know, we didn't really understand what they were sharing at the time. But they put water here and they struck water and they said it was in God's name and that Jesus help them do it. And they said, you can come and preach whatever you want and share whatever you want. You're more than welcome to come. So that's about where we're going. So it's very cool. I thought in church in Africa, you would not just come to talk about what you've been up to in Africa. So we thought we'd bring a little message, but we thought we'd bring maybe an African take on a maybe a message everyone's heard. I've probably heard this message, I don't know, many, many times, and read it through my Bible hundreds of times before going to Africa. But after going and seeing Old Testament, reading Old Testament and seeing how everyone lives in a third world country, the whole scripture could be, I don't know, for me, seen with new eyes. And I thought it'd be something that I'd come back and share. So, if we flip to the next. This is Genesis 24:17-20. So if anyone wants to read along. Genesis 24:17-20. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar into her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied the jar into the trough and ran back to the well for more water and drew enough for all of his camels. So, I don't know if anyone knows too much about camels, and I really didn't know anything about it. So I guess the background to the scripture is Abraham sent his servant out to find a wife for Isaac. And in the culture of Africa, that's quite a normal thing. It's almost like an honor to be able to go out and try and find someone a wife. And he sent, this is where the servant finds this young girl, Rebecca. Right, a little bit about camels. I knew nothing about camels and never seen one in my life until going to our village where we were. Camels are angry, moody, messy, temperamental beasts in the politest way possible. I thought I would be cool one day. So, this is Christine on a camel, and this is me drawing water from one of the animal wells. So it's pretty much a 14 meter deep hole in the ground in a dry riverbed, and you dig the water up with a string, and it's got about a 4 litre bowl on the bottom, and you drop it down and you pull it up and you pour it in. And I thought I'd go along and help out the locals. Obviously men only do this, and the men can do it real quick, and you know, I could do that, I'm a farm boy, I'm quite strong. And they said, "Oh, we'll give you half an hour." Normally they wait till the cows arrive and start doing it, and they said, "We'll give you a half an hour head start because you're white and not very good at this." And 100 cows are marching towards me, and I've got 20, you know, as fast as I could. They're like, "Oh, you really can't do this." And a camel walked past one day after I'd been helping out, and one of my friends said, "You know, there's a camel here, we should get away." And I said, "No, it's, you know, in the Bible they water camels. A girl did it, surely I couldn't do it." And he shook his head and he said, "You white people are crazy." So I started pulling the water up and putting it in the trough, and he got his big stick and he chased the camel around, keeping it away from the thing, because camels don't drink for about 3 months, and all of a sudden they smell water and they go absolutely crazy. And so he chased it away and I tried to keep up, and then I realized that I wasn't keeping up and the camel was coming running towards me. So I dropped everything and ran like a little girl, and stood behind a tree watching the camel drink the water and run around looking for more. And it takes a lot of skill and a lot of hard work to get water from the well up and to draw it. And I guess when you read it in the Bible, oh wow, she just pulls water from a well. It was real easy. And all of a sudden, I don't know, watering camels is such a more deadly and dangerous job. In Africa, in our area, watering animals is the man's job. Women will cart water for the well and for the house, but people get gored and kicked and beaten and all sorts of stuff watering animals. So it's always a man and a boy's job in our village. But Rebecca was probably a teenage girl doing this. I'm not sure. One camel I was scared of. She had 10 camels, if you read earlier in the verse. So the servant had 10 camels. It's a big ask. And she was probably only a teenager at the time. The other shocking bit, I guess, coming from down south here, the man sits and watches her draw the water for the camels. And this is one of the big things I struggle with in Africa, because to draw water from a well is a woman's work, to be fair. And it's probably the equivalent of me dressing in a Auckland rugby jersey and a tutu and skipping down the main street of Gore. Everyone would look at you and go, he's drawing water from the well. He can't do that. That's just crazy. And that's probably the equivalent of if, you know, Pete Gardine skipped down the street in a tutu, everyone would like, oh, he's gone crazy. What's he doing? So the man sat back and watched. And I found it really tough when my wife was pregnant with our first child. She was down there 8 or 9 months pregnant, carrying 2 buckets of water back for the well, and I kind of just had to, you know, let her do it. And I really, really struggled with it. But that is the cultural norm over there. So the thing is, how hard did Rebecca work? I'm going to flick to the next slide. So camels drink a lot of water. If you don't drink for a few weeks at a time, when you drink, you want to drink it a lot. So one camel will drink 200 litres of water. And it says in the Bible that the man had 10 camels. That's 2 tonne of water in a little jar at a time. I was scared of pouring water for one camel, and I ran. Imagine 10 camels at the same time. Rebecca must have been one tough girl. The cool bit about it is, it says in verse 20, she ran. She didn't just pull up some water. Remember, this is a man walking past, just asked for a drink of water, and she's gone above and beyond to draw water for all the camels. And I'm not sure if anyone else has gone out and, you know, someone's just passing by, and you think, it's kind of like, I'll make you a sandwich, and then all of a sudden you're cooking, a feast for all his friends and everyone at the same time. She really did go above and beyond. In Colossians, so if anyone wants to follow through, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive your inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now this was just someone passing by at the time, and she really did go above and beyond. Rebecca definitely worked with all her heart, and she put maximum effort in. For all she knew, there was no reward. As we all know, her reward was to go on to become Isaac's wife and play a huge part in God's story. The cool bit about it, our God is still the same God that today, as Rebecca was serving that day. It's the same who led Rebecca. When he leads us to water camels, it's our responsibility to follow him, even if we cannot see our reward. If you want to flick to the next one. Thirsty camels are all around us, waiting for somebody to give them water. We've had the privilege of giving them water by follow the Lord's leading. We need to be willing to do the Lord's work, no matter how difficult, just like Rebecca. Though it may be challenging, we have found it to be one of the most rewarding privileges there is. May we be looking for thirsty camels today as we go out. And I know I say this as in I physically watered camels in Africa, but every day there are people just around us, and it may be hard and it may be difficult, but I liked what he at the start, where he said you just have to open your mouth and share. And that's really the simplest to it. So maybe we're looking for thirsty camels as we go out today. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Peter. Pete and Christine have chosen a song for us to conclude our time today, and I'm sure that the questions and all that kind of thing, plenty of time over a cup of tea to do that out there, so that'd be good. Here I am, Lord, and going to introduce this. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the song is pretty appropriate for Pete and Christine going out, and the words, you know, are quite amazing. You know, here I am, Lord, you know, I'm prepared to go, and you guys have taken up that challenge. This song is actually for all of us as we all leave here. We all go out in separate ways, and we're amongst the community. This song is for each one of us as well. So it's a new song. We're going to attempt to play it with the music group as well as the MP4. We'll see how it goes, but it's a beautiful song and it's a challenge to us all.
Thanks, Joe. So please stand.
Thank you.
you probably heard it, but I remember having someone told me, and I haven't actually seen it in a church yet, but it's a pretty cool thing where as you leave the church, you look at a sign above the door that says you are now entering the mission field. And I thought that's a pretty cool thing. Well, now, from Ephesians 3, this is our benediction for this day. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. There is opportunity for any that would like prayer and ministry. The little place up here. I'm going to actually be the first person here today because this week has been, I've been wrecked with allergies of all kinds. I love spring. It's wonderful, and it's all that pollen just gets me going. So I'm going to be the first lining up here. Lord, bless you this week more than you need. Thank you.